So we talked a little bit before we turned this on. I think we pretty much decided we'll just kind of pick up where we left off and worry about maybe talking about some more general things toward the end, where maybe there's relationships.
There it is.
As I sit here struggling, looking for something to write on. And really where we left off was, I think you're going to medical school. I think we covered why and the impetus for going there. I guess the only question, or the way I'd started off is to ask, you know, was American University your only choice, or your first choice, or and what were the reasons for going there to, like, your dad, I guess, you know, I'm thinking,
yeah,
going to Europe or...
Well, the going to undergrad and at the American University was sort of a very logical progression at the time. And again, I guess from the cultural point of view, which is quite different from the U.S. culture, is the family stays knit, closely knit, much longer than the U.S. family. I mean, the age of separation is usually not at 18. And it usually actually comes after college rather than before college. And it's never as clear-cut a separation. The fabric is much tighter, and it extends into the extended family, not just the nuclear family. So... going to the American University was a very logical choice, was a very the usual norm there. At that time, and I have to remember here a few things, I did toy with the idea of coming to the States for undergrad, and we talked about
that a little bit.
And
Chicago, I guess.
Yeah, and I really didn't feel like it was important. And maybe in retrospect, I would have done it. I don't know. I think it's the frame of mind of myself and most other people my age. I mean, you didn't have to leave home or your town when you hit 18 and just go on your own. So staying there was a very logical solution. The other thing is, I think the Civil War was starting to brew. That must have been a little later on.
Yeah, I wanted to get a just for the record as well, right, that you would have started medical school in 76. Okay, I wanted to say 78, but okay.
76.
Right.
And so the Civil War in Lebanon started in 75, and that time sort of got trapped in staying in medical school at Beirut. And it was, the way the Civil War started, it wasn't clear whether it was gonna escalate and become what it turned out to be, or was going to be a wrinkle that was going to go away. But again, I mean, I guess people tended to stay together, you know, in more sort of a more cautious approach to things.
Mm-hmm. I think in talking about the same period of time, you know, on our first session, maybe it was a little... I'm thinking high school, college, age. Maybe I'm going back too far. You mentioned a sense of just it getting worse and worse, though. And certainly, I guess I get the impression what you were talking about was... And it wasn't just you, and, you know, sitting there thinking about this all by yourself, but just a sense of all of you having to get out at some point. I mean, you know, there was just nothing definite, but there was certainly the... always in, not even just the back of your mind. I don't want to say impending doom, but, you know...
No, more anxiety, maybe, at the social, societal level. anxiety. Mm. People, you could see the process fermenting, brewing in terms of people becoming more polarized in their thoughts, more anxious, more exclusive of other groups. And that was prior to the onset of the Civil War, and with the Civil War sort of it started forcing people to take sides even if they didn't want to. And
I mean, I guess I'm trying to get a sense of how much that might have affected your decisions about, like, for instance, staying with your family, being near, or, I guess in the opposite, I mean, perhaps you even had conversations with, like, your father or siblings about what the family was going to do, and was, I mean, maybe there was a preparation starting to be made, because certainly everybody had the experience prior to that of having to just up and...
Yeah, it's difficult. I haven't thought much about that, but I think there was a sense of maybe I wanted to be more practical at that point and really follow more a clinical career and stick with medical school and try to be more down to earth, more relevant that way.
And maybe do it at close to home. I mean,
and close to home. I don't know. I mean, for us, growing up in Beirut, the American University was really a highlight of education.
Just so, obviously, it wasn't just a perception that was shared by people in Beirut or of certain backgrounds, but also that was the perception of many people in the Middle East and the world. I mean, I'm talking about pictures in your yearbook of, lecturers or visitors like LBJ in 62 and then Nehru, and so obviously it was an intellectual center.
It was for them. It was a highlight in the Middle East. A lot of the leaders in the Arab country graduated from the American University of Beirut. A lot of, it's like having the Harvard in the U.S., but not having anything else either.
Right.
So it's that kind of situation.
And Oxford rolled up into one, or
something. Yeah, and with very little in terms of other choices. I think after the Civil War, the other options opened up to people in the Middle East in general in terms of sending their kids to Europe or the U.S. But before that,
it didn't really happen.
You lived in Saudi Arabia or in
it's back on.
People would send their kids, if they had the ability to, they would send them to the American University.
True.
Because it was in an Arabic-speaking country and closer to home and offered really top education. And the medical school in particular had an astounding reputation.
Yeah, you can talk. Sure, I'll turn it on.
So
okay, we're back on.
This medical school was maybe in a way elitist, but it was the highlight of education in the Middle East, by far, undisputed.
Was it really tough? I mean,
it was extremely tough to get into. So again, you're talking. In the good old days, probably even before my days, you were talking about selecting a class of 50 students from mostly the whole Arab population, not just Lebanon. I mean, you really were selecting the top young graduates from the American University as well as other places for admission at the American University. And
I hope I'm also haven't been giving the implication that was saying, oh, why don't you leave and go to a better school?
I understand. It's
you.
But I have to explain sort of my perception at that time. It's. It's very different from a kid going to college, to high school in Durham, saying, well, do I go to UNC or do I go to the West Coast? I mean, those were really not the options available at that time. For one thing, the American University was it in the Middle East for a medical education. And the reputation was great because the medical school was primarily set up by solid academicians who came mostly from American medical schools and set up the different departments.
And they were American born or
American, yeah, Middle American Eastern born. Or? No, and mostly American born. And
so a mix perhaps in Arabs and
the faculty was, you know, an Arab Lebanese faculty was groomed, but it was really initiated mostly by American heads of departments in, I think, the 40s, perhaps, 1940s and 1950s. And, you know, I recall people saying, oh, when we discuss, you know, Whipple of the Whipple procedure was, you know, spend a few months at the American University and so did. And so, I mean, all the big names we encountered in textbooks, Ray Adams, who's the top neurologist in this country, who's an older man now, and was still visiting Beirut even during the Civil War. So the interactions were mostly actually with Harvard and with Johns Hopkins. So, and mostly, a lot with Johns Hopkins, and probably the American University was the only sort of medical school outside the U.S. built on the Osler tradition.
Sort of, I have some familiarity with it.
In terms of the apprenticeship system of William Osler in having medical students have hands-on experience
from the very first,
from the very beginning, in terms of the house staff training being not only hands-on but more like a boot camp, which it was until very recently, even most medical schools around the U.S. That, you know, as an intern, you just lived in the hospital. You just had no other life. Your life was hospital, and which was very important because, from my experience as going through it and as an educator, is it's the year where people undergo a transformation. So it was very unlike most even European systems of where even in France and Western Europe, it's more. The professor and everyone flocking around the professor and watching what the professor, it was a real hands-on experience. So the reputation of the medical school was great. So it was a very viable alternative to stay and go to medical school there. And it was so well connected with mostly Hopkins and Harvard that most people who went through it easily usually went on to have more specialty training at either, you know, either Boston or Baltimore, and would go back or
stay,
and so it wasn't like a dead end situation. It was a very viable choice, and you know, with the again, I mean, much probably financially much cheaper choice than going to the U.S. and to a private medical school or something like
that. Do you mind my asking, is there any way you can equate what you were paying in tuition or something with anything that, I guess you don't even need to, it doesn't need to be anything I have any, you know, you can just simply, if you remember how much it costs, say how much it costs. Somebody can figure that out.
I don't know, it must have been around $3,000 for tuition, but remember, I was staying with my folks, so that was it.
Also, know perhaps what the tradition or the attraction was for places like Hopkins and Harvard, just because of the, you mentioned just offhand about the, there was really. There was some administration being done by this board of trustees that was actually back in New York and not in Beirut. I mean, but was it from World War II or something? I mean, I'm just wondering if you can...
I don't know the history of it, but...
Some Americans who founded the place, certainly, in that vein.
I think it may have had to do as much with people at Hopkins or Harvard very interested in exploring, you know, international possibilities, sure. And the American university stood out as
sort of... It
wasn't
a chance to get to a really nice beach in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
well, who knows? Right? Maybe
you know,
for one.
So I really don't know the historical background to it, mm-hmm. but I mean, I vividly recall mm-hmm. going myself through the medical school that most of the faculty were Lebanese or Arab, had trained at usually either Hopkins or Harvard. So... doing mostly specialty training, yeah. But there was definitely this kind of connection.
Mm-hmm. And is that where your opportunity to come to, and you're taking the opportunity to come to Duke, I mean, we're just jumping ahead, we won't get into it, yeah. But came from as well with this kind of, it was a tradition, it was a thing that many people did.
Yeah, the tradition was, and I think as the place was growing up until the Civil War, was the American University had set up first-rate residency programs, which are sort of the initial specialty training, whether it's in surgery or internal medicine or what have you. And those were very powerful programs, again, extremely competitive. But they had not set up any significant subspecialty programs. So that was the end of the road with the American University. And most people who wanted any further training, subspecialty training, had to get it somewhere else, usually in the States, sometimes in Europe.
And so actually your father going to a place like Glasgow is actually more kind of against the grain or something. I mean, there was no tradition, he just simply went because he wanted to go to med school and it was...
When he started out, and that was in the, I think, late 20s.
Yeah. Of course the British presence was so strong.
The British presence in Palestine was, I mean, they were it there. He did try to go to the American University. Okay. The tradition, it wasn't sort of a premier medical school at that time. But he did try to go there, but I don't recall the details. There were some funny incidents that, you know, he said, I don't want to go there, and he decided
to. It still could have well been tough to get in just because there were many families with connections or something who would...
I don't think it was even more trivial than that. I think he wanted to play soccer and they wouldn't let him or something like that. Was real trivial at the time.
Okay. You were a mathematics major, right, as an undergrad, but of course, as you said, did kind of double time doing all the requirements for the math major, but also making sure you got all the requirements in for pre-med and being able to apply to med school. And I don't know that you talked much about what that was like. You obviously were interested in the mathematics, I think. But
actually, for a while, I was more than a mathematics major. Let me recall that, because when I went, how did it happen? Well, my first semester, my faculty advisor would not let me register for more mathematics courses than I wanted, mm-hmm. for as many as I wanted. And I actually enlisted in another university. That was the Lebanese University, and went as a math major there. But after the first semester, my advisor let me take as many courses as I wanted.
Okay.
So that's when I sort of majored primarily in mathematics.
Okay. Yes. So the other course, I mean, you were taking just the kind of the gamut of... chemistry, organic chem.
It was a rigorous curriculum, and I mean, for people who went into... straight pre-med, which I did, it was a full curriculum. I mean,
like it is here, I take.
Even more so. I mean, less flexible than the pre-med curriculum here. I mean, it was people had to take a fixed number of biology, chemistry, physics, and English and literature. So I think all the course requirements amounted to very few electives,
Right, or you got to, as long as you took the three English classes,
from each century, you got to pick which class you took or which professor you ended up with.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm trying to get a sense of what the quality, I mean, as you, again, you're looking back, was mainly in biology classes.
So and an undergraduate.
Or just as prep for med school, and then we can talk more about the med school classes. I don't want to make this a major.
The quality, remember, I started at the university in 70, what did I say?
74.
An undergrad.
Right.
And there's a quirk there to the system because we graduate from high school and the freshman year is incorporated in high school.
Okay. So it's 3 years you start.
It's a whole combination of one being incorporated in the other. So there was an option for non-Lebanese like myself to enter university at the freshman level. But most people entered at the sophomore, so I entered at the sophomore level. And you do the equivalent of the freshman in high school. And the same thing with medical school. There was an option for most people who would qualify to enter medical school at the senior year. And the first year medical school would double up as the senior year. So that's why the pre-med curriculum was pretty tight, because you could take it over 3 years.
And actually, kind of 1 year was in high school. I mean, you're really talking about...
Well, I mean, in addition to the high school year, you could take it over the sophomore, junior, and senior, and then go into
medical school with a year under your belt.
But quite a number of people condensed it went through the two-year program, but the same requirements.
So it was you did.
That's what I did.
Because I was going to say, you entered 74, but you talked about med school beginning in 76. I was like,
so it's a little confusing, because sort of the freshman year you do in high school and the senior year you do in medical school.
Okay.
So it was really only 2 years of your usual undergrad. The quality of education was excellent from the didactic point of view. Mm-hmm. Excellent. We talked about that the other day a little bit also. In terms of the creative aspect of it, I think as compared to my high school experience, if anything, the didactic part was not as superb as the high school experience, but the creative aspect became more available.
And what examples might you know?
It's very haphazard. It's very much dependent on the teacher and the course rather than on a program or a department. Let me think through. My theoretical physics was wonderful. I had a very brilliant teacher who just engaged us in all kinds of, ad-libbing theoretical physics rather than follow a textbook. Our botany teacher, the second, third week into the course, turned against us pretty much. I guess the class started becoming rowdy or something, and he just became the most horrible didactic teacher. So it was very variable. There were some literature courses that were wonderful. English courses, horrible.
When you say literature, you're not talking about just like literature taught in English or literature taught in Arabic.
There were required courses in English as
like
a language.
Composition,
yes,
and grammar.
Yes, that kind of stuff.
Okay,
those were horrible. Arabic classes, the ones I took, were very uninspiring.
And those were literature, more literature study, reading.
Yes, okay. Reading and writing, and some writing too.
Okay.
Mathematics, again, some were wonderful and brilliant and others were not. Organic chemistry was good, but I didn't like it at that time. While I was doing my mathematics, I somewhat resented the pre-medical curriculum.
And you were really more geared. I guess I'm also trying to, get a sense of what your perceptions were. As you said, you've become more practical given the situation you found yourself and your family in. But you also had this, you had a lifetime's experience of what it was like to be a doctor, I assume. I mean, you had your father. I mean, whether he took you on rounds every day or not, I mean, you still had to have some sense of what a doctor does, how a doctor does it, and that sort of thing. And then here you are giving these kind of having to take these prep classes. And I'm also on top of all that to get a sense of your own feeling, or you're just going into something to do it. You know, in 1974, 75, 76, you know, biology had, like it had in the early 1950s, it had just, you know, it had just come full, it was taking off.
Yeah, it was just...
And I was wondering, I've noticed there's a wide variety of responses because you're all basically were undergraduates or just thinking about continuing a career in biology, you know, or health or something when this happened, and people have a wide variety of experience with it. For instance, like no such thing as molecular biology being taught as to undergrads at all until, you know, 82 or, you know, something like that. So I'm also trying to get just a sense beyond your own, your reaction to it, what was being, did you have an idea of what biology and medicine were in a larger sense beyond, you know, your father's practice? And
no, not really, actually, not really. And even my father was very remote from my decision making. If anything, at an intellectual level, I did not like my father's model of clinical practice.
Does it seem boring, or?
Well, I mean, his was really down to earth, taking care of patients day in, day out, very hard-working person.
Not a specialty, and not seeing him in office.
Yeah, he was an internist, and he was working very hard, and he was, you know, motivated to take care of that group of patients. But the actual, I mean, you could see the price he was paying for taking this kind of career.
You mean emotionally? I mean, honestly,
emotionally was draining. Tough patients to deal with. High, you know, mostly uneducated, poorly educated.
Maybe little result in the kind of preventive area, right? You treat them, but that wouldn't. They'd come back with the same situation.
You know, all those kinds of frustrations, and I always respect his dedication to that work. But in terms of a model for clinical medicine, if anything, I probably, in retrospect now since you asked, I didn't like that. I never thought of it that way before. I didn't want, I mean, it was something that I was ambivalent about, I guess.
I was going to say, were there what other models maybe did you have? The American University?
At that time, probably, honestly, I didn't have too many role models.
This was a real and, practical...
Yeah, and going through undergrad, that was part of the resentment in going through the pre-medical curriculum. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I had decided that math was not going to be my long-term career. I wanted to enjoy it in undergrad, and I did that. But I also resented a lot of the pre-med. And the pre-med mentality, again, to put you again in that perspective, there was a major selection between pre-med and medical school. So you would, I don't recall the numbers any longer, but it could have been as many as 300 to 400 students entering the pre-medical program with
just
only 50
yeah.
being accepted at the end.
And 50 from American University, plus
yeah.
others, or
plus a few others from
it was
other
really
places.
All from their undergrad.
Yeah, mostly from their undergrad. So
really
it was extremely competitive, and you know,
it was happening right there in front of you as well. I mean, it wasn't competitive. You know, you're all applying to Harvard, but you live in
exactly.
1,000 different places.
Yeah.
You live in the same town, and you know each other for years.
And you I mean, it transformed many people, and you could see it transform them. And I didn't like that. I mean, I didn't have any difficulty in getting high grades, or so I wasn't worried about myself. But I resented the fact that I have to be in this kind of rat race.
You use it, if I can interject for a second, and again, not to really go after something, but you've talked about, you know, resenting and that feeling. I'm wondering, you know, did you have a sense of what it was or who it was you were resent? I mean, was it life in general, you know, all of mankind, your parents? I'm just curious.
No,
just a general...
No, it wasn't. No, I wasn't sort of... no, it was a very focused resentment. I was on... You know, I was happy being at home. I was, you know, totally free. I mean, it was like renting out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Very good terms with my parents, my siblings, many friends. always, you know, did things with friends, always had the time to do that. But intellectually, the pre-medical program was uninspiring. And I sort of, at that time, to be very honest here, at that time I was, so it was like a gamble to me that there was something good about medical school. But I definitely did not see it in pre-med, and that was a source of that kind of resentment. And I think that was, again, in retrospect, that was justified, because once I hit the clinical years in medical school, I loved that. Mm. I loved that. So pre-clinical, pre-medical program was, you know, I didn't like it. It was a rat race. A lot of my friends just got sucked into it. And, you know, I could see them struggling, and many dropped out. And it was a lot of pressure against, mm-hmm. a sort of family pressure. Oh, you either become an engineer or you become a doctor. You know, because, again, the Middle East lawyer is not an option. So
it's no longer being considered that much of an option here.
Wow, that's maybe not completely true yet, but...
Did you want
to... No, I'm fine. Oh,
okay.
So, and
I was
going
to say, what were the other options? I mean, I guess there weren't. Not even... This isn't just an issue of pure group pressure either,
yes,
but...
Yes, the other... Exactly. In terms of, I mean, for me, if you ruled out theoretical physics or mathematics, engineering was the other option of a sort of acquiring a professional career. Mm-hmm. Many people went into business if they had the family support, you know, if they were born into a wealthy family so that they knew they had a business to grow into. After they graduate. But other than that, there were very little opportunities for professional education and professional careers. I think that's a true statement.
You also brought up, and maybe not directly, I mean, not in this context, the sense of that you looked around you in Beirut and saw a lot of people who were idle. And I assume perhaps that was another option, right? That especially if your family could support you, or you could just, you know, hold some sort of a job that was even semi-professional or no job at all. I mean, especially in times of, you know, when there was real doubt about that, what tomorrow would bring, or this holding pattern situation.
So
was this, you didn't talk with completely negative things to say about this, but, you know, you mentioned that you saw around you a lot of people who
were idle.
And became, you know, then became almost kind of like, as you saw, perhaps a detriment to any solution to the problems that were facing both the Lebanese and the Palestinian communities. And
let me see if I get your question.
Okay,
right.
I'm sorry, I really can't.
I think for me, being idle was never an option. I mean, to put it that way. And I think, again, in retrospect, I could explain many things by saying I was always looking for a career that would intellectually grab me full time, 24 hours a day. You know, in retrospect, it's easy now to understand those forces, because at that time it was maybe more resentment or anxiety or whatnot. But now, I mean, I could easily see how I could never be a 9-to-5 job person. The vacuum that kind of job would leave in me would be just horrible. I could not be someone who did not, in a career basically, that did not grow intellectually with time. So that eliminated a lot of options for me. So I think in retrospect, again, I was always steering away from all those kinds of options.
And I guess I was kind of just mulling around or just kind of bouncing around this whole area, because, again, I get a sense that the situation you found yourself in, the compromise with the pre-med, and then, of course, you later came to realize it was not so much of a bad compromise. But now, the time we're talking about, you haven't figured that out yet. that it must have been, well, stifling. I mean, you really were, yeah, there was this uncertainty, there was limited options, and here's somebody who,
I think
it wasn't even an option to think about not, I mean, just kind of hanging out for 5 years. It must have been, and I guess maybe I expect more anger, not that you have to fit my view of things, but just, you seem to be...
It was stifling, and I think that may be a very good description of my emotion, why my reaction was that way. But again, I don't think my reaction was... I don't want to say it was anger, because if I was growing now in that environment, I would be angry, because I know different now. Mm. I know what other options are. I know what good education is. I know what creativity is, mm-hmm. and how that can be fostered. But back then, I really didn't know that. I felt like I was missing something. I was being stifled, but I really didn't know what I was missing. So I don't think anger was a major... there was some resentment, but not anger necessarily. I would resent going to biology. I mean, I would... Biology class was at 8 o'clock. I would never go to biology class. I mean, small things like that. Organic chemistry, I always made it a point going 15 minutes late to the lecture. Almost adolescent resentment of being part of that game. Mm-hmm. But again, in retrospect, I think it was that stifling component. I was in search of something that would fulfill me and have a long-term prospect. That's why I dropped math. I knew math would, at that point, provide a lot of fulfillment, and it did. I mean, it definitely did for those couple of years provide me with a lot of fulfillment. And along those same forces, the first year of medical school was the pits. Because the first year of medical school was much more rigorous, was as much a continuation of pre-med, actually much more a continuation of pre-med than an entry into medicine. The courses were lousy, basically with the exception of neuroanatomy that we had, and gross anatomy, and some biochemistry. All the other courses could almost have been pre-med courses. And at that time, I couldn't do my math. I couldn't do any other thing.
But but med school, right, of course.
And that I resented. In the second year, things started turning around.
And this method you mentioned before, this mentorship or apprenticeship, excuse me, method kicked in the second year.
It started a little bit in the second year, but then we started studying real medicine. We studied pharmacology, the body systems, physiology, microbiology. We interacting a lot with clinicians, so we were starting to interface with the clinical. And I thought, hey, there's so much to learn there. And I was really excited about the dimensions of this new knowledge. Now, one thing I have to bring in about all this, because parallel to all what I was just describing about my own personal reaction to the educational system, the Civil War. I mean, the Civil War was brewing in 74, kicked in 75 in ups and downs, and towards the end of my junior year, I mean, all hell broke loose in Lebanon. I was actually on a vacation in London, England. It was probably the only vacation I took without my family outside Lebanon. I'm trying to double check on that. And I got stuck basically in London because I couldn't get back. Mm-hmm. Now come to think of it, that's when I also was about to register at Imperial College for engineering.
Okay, this is a story I haven't even got a sense.
Because
you were stuck?
Because I was stuck. That was definitely because I was stuck.
Stop for a minute, right? You would just pick up and, I mean, if you were going to be in London for a year or 6 months or 2 years,
better do something about
quick.
It. Okay. I could correspond with my father, and he said he could support me partly. Okay. So, and I went to Imperial College, and they offered me, admissions into and some support.
Mm.
And I, for some reason, I had, or maybe my father sent me my transcript or something. So it was real easy, based on my transcript, mm-hmm. to convince them that I was a good, candidate.
Prospect, right?
Yeah, prospect.
Had you friends there? I mean, or were you really kind of like stuck in the middle of London without family or friends or anything?
Well, we sort of were a group of three, I think, who traveled there, and we met group of, a couple of other people. So we ended up like being like 6-7 people who got stuck there. And, the airport was closed in Beirut, and I thought, if I'm stuck here, I'm going to make something useful out of my stay. And I thought, engineering would be a good option, 3-4 years and you're done with it and you have a career and just get it going with. Obviously, I couldn't see myself idle, again in, right. in London.
Or, with the prospects of not having any way of supporting yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Being, I guess we use the phrase down and out.
I did have a friend there in London who had already sort of bailed out from Lebanon and went to London for education. And that year, 75, many people started bailing out. Many of my friends started bailing out. And that continued throughout the years. Because now, if you ask me who of my couple of hundred friends that I had growing up with is in Beirut, probably there are only 2 or 3.
And why didn't you go? Had you considered? It didn't take you long to think about doing it for practical reasons as well when you were unable to get back to Beirut.
Yeah.
But had you thought, I'll just pick up medical school somewhere else and I'll get the hell out of here?
I think I tried to look into medical schools, but it was pretty difficult to get into England into medical mm-hmm. schools on that short a notice. Basically, it was, late September or something, walking in saying, hey, I'm stuck here and what's available? So medical school was not available.
But you hadn't thought about this while you were still in Beirut, and as you said, your friends sort of
in terms of bailing out. I'm sure it's something that, had come up dozens of time with my friends.
Seriously, like you sent off that application,
but never
bought that plane ticket.
Never became serious.
Sat down with your father to figure out the logistics of doing something.
No, never became serious, except when I got stuck. But then, things quieted down, the airport opened, the medical school opened, went back. So there is this sort of parallel going on with the civil war there that I'm sure affected a lot, maybe not a lot, but did affect my decision making.
Would have had to if you saw, if the whole community that you expressed as being very close and something you actually kind of miss in American culture and here in Durham, although I guess we're not in Durham right now, Chapel Hill, but in this area mm-hmm. and in this part of the world, it must have had some effect. Anything direct that we can calculate in, but
yeah, I don't think it's something very direct to.
It must have been frustrating, you had a goal in mind, finishing med school, but did you have beyond that? Some people really, really plan their lives.
No, I didn't really, really plan my life. One of the ironic things is, again, in medical school, there were many excellent role models mm-hmm. of people who were either good basic scientists, very few, but there were very few basic scientists, but they were very good role mm-hmm. models. And there were many very good role models for clinical medicine. Very thoughtful, well-read, perceptive people, analytical. And the system there, its excellence was derived primarily from those kind of people right. because clinical research or basic research was not the forte. It was the education.
I guess that's how I wanted to go in, was to, it was the hands-on stuff and the experience with, I'm sure we could even name names if you, there are 2 or 3 or 1 or 6 particular mentors you have in mind or people you came in contact with as a med student. But I wanted to know what that spark was that kicked in and made you decide this wasn't, and I think actually, why don't we do that? I'll ask the question on this side, but you get to answer it on the other.